Joining me now is Noah Feldman, law professor at New York University. He was an advisor to the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq, and he worked on Iraq's interim constitution. And welcome back to Day to Day, Noah Feldman.
Thank you for having me.
Now, there's a new judge in the trial, and still Saddam Hussein is refusing to follow the rules of the court. So is it looking like it's impossible to try him?
The trial is not yet impossible because the evidence has now been introduced, and he's been given his opportunity to defend himself. And he hasn't particularly taken that opportunity. So now I think we'll probably see a few witnesses for the defense, and then we're going to see a verdict.
And the proceedings have been televised. Is that a good idea, given that Saddam is now giving speeches encouraging the insurgency?
There's little choice but to televise them, because in the current political atmosphere in Iraq, secrecy would mean conspiracy theories would abound. So although Saddam is making speeches, he did one today, that's simply an inevitable result of allowing an open trial.
As we just heard in an earlier report, Saddam kept insisting that he is still the president of Iraq. What do you think of that?
The key point here is that he's emphasizing for the public, which presently has no one in charge, the Iraqi government has no one in charge, that when he was in charge, at least there was a president. And I think that's an important point. He's trying to suggest that the trial is disorganized and indeed that the entire government of Iraq is disorganized.
Well, absent Saddam, how has the trial gone?
The trial, I would say, has gone modestly well, but that's a bit like asking Mrs. Lincoln how the theater was other than her husband's assassination, because the whole point of the trial has been to force Iraqis to acknowledge that Saddam was directly behind various acts of violence, in this case the massacre of 148 young men and adults at the town of Dujail. And so Saddam's refusal to participate has at times made the trial look a bit like a circus.
Well, if the judge is unable to get him to focus on the facts at hand and the accusations at hand, what does that mean for the legitimacy of whatever verdict is handed down?
It means that it's not going to do very much to change the minds of anybody who is already on Saddam's side. At this stage, I would think people who already thought that Saddam was guilty will be glad to see him convicted. Those in the public who are sympathetic to him, or at least sympathetic to the idea that he's been railroaded by the United States and by the new Iraqi government, are probably going to say, look, this is exactly what we expected. And I think that's what Saddam is trying to do by openly embracing the insurgency, which is what he's been doing each day in court.
And he said this is about politics. The judge chastised him for saying that. But to a certain extent, is he right?
Naturally. The judge said to him, focus on the fact of the case, which is a legitimate thing for the judge to say. And Saddam said, well, I wouldn't be here and neither would you if it weren't for politics. And of course, that's true, too. It's impossible to separate politics out completely from a trial like this one. What's even more striking is that Saddam is suggesting that what he did in referring to the Revolutionary Court, which of course he controlled the trials of the people who were subsequently executed, the ones he's being tried for, was just ordinary business. It's just what he did as president. And I think a lot of people in Iraq are going to be nodding their heads and saying, look, we don't like the guy, but that is true. Someone attempted to assassinate him, and he put people on trial for it, and they were convicted.
Take us back to when he was in power and trials were held. How different were they from the trial we're seeing today?
Extremely different in that there was certainly nothing televised, and furthermore, defenses were minimal if allowed at all. I certainly can't imagine somebody being able to stand up and challenge the legitimacy of the tribunal the way that Saddam has. On the other hand, one thing which this trial may indeed have in common with those trials is that most people figure they know what the outcome is going to be. And that's one of the greatest challenges at all times for the trial of someone who is guilty of crimes against humanity or other very serious crimes. How do you create a fair trial of somebody where you know in advance that he's overwhelmingly likely to be found guilty?
Well, that brings to mind the war crimes trial of Slobodan Milosevic, who recently died. He was being tried before the International Court in The Hague. Which venue do you think is more effective, this a local Iraqi trial or an international court?
Each venue has some serious drawbacks. We saw in The Hague that Milosevic was able to give long, day-long sometimes, speeches that were aimed at the local Serbian audience back home, which essentially vindicated him and vindicated the things that Serbs had done. And that was obviously very bad for the international legitimacy of the whole trial process. And then Milosevic went and died of what appears to have been a heart attack before a verdict could even be rendered. So I think most people looking at that trial would say it just was very unsatisfactory at almost every level. Now when you look at Saddam's trial, the drawback is that by doing it locally instead of internationally, it doesn't have the patina of fairness and legitimacy that an international trial has. On the other hand, it's also clear that there will actually be a verdict here. I don't think this court is going to sit around waiting for 4 years, as Milosevic's court did, before rendering some kind of a verdict on at least the first part of Saddam's trial.
New York University law professor Noah Feldman, his most recent book is What We Owe Iraq, War and the Ethics of Nation Building. Noah Feldman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.